Goldman Sachs announced this week that it is making a specialized robo-advisor available to its wealthy investors. It is the latest foray into robotics and artificial intelligence at the big banks. But is it a trend that's coming to other banks and regional institutions? We're going to talk about that on this week's Thought Leader Conversation. The opening bell welcomes back Breck Hansen, who is the vice chairman and former head of commercial real estate at the Associated Bank at Associated Bank. Breck, welcome back to the opening bell. Good to see you.
Good to see you, Steve.
As we sit here, we've heard from Goldman Sachs that they're going to start pushing this robo-advisor on affluent investors. Are the robots coming to take our jobs?
You know, when I read things like that, Steve, I think about a lot of things. I think robots or technology is really a generational thing. And a lot of the affluent investors are still people in their 50s, 60s, 70s, even 80s. And I truly believe they still like that personal touch. They like to be able to pick up a phone and talk to somebody, whether that's a trade or investment advice and that kind of input. That being said, we're not too far away from the millennials or the Generation X's and the people that really grab on to information and technology being in more of that affluent class or that senior class. So it's something that you got to pay attention to.
Yeah, we see I guess the pitfalls and the positives of this is you trade at the speed of light almost. That can be good if you're making money, but it can be bad if you're losing money, can't it?
You know, speed is something that you watch the behavior of people, and the faster you can lose money or the faster you can make money is, if not consciously, subconsciously attractive to a lot of people. I look at gambling and horse racing or dog racing, and when they brought in off-track betting, people loved to go to tracks where you could also bet other races around the United States because they didn't have to wait that several minutes between races. They could put more money out in between. And if you want to make betting or gambling analogous to what you do in the investing market, that's exactly what maybe technology like this is doing for the sophisticated investor.
Is there a benefit there, like for Associated Bank, to have, I know we've talked about this in the past, still having people there? Because as you say, there are folks who prefer that, regardless of whether or not the other thing is the most popular thing right now, this personal touch.
Well, I'll tell you what we found is that we've got a number of retail sites in how people do banking. Of course, most of us, if not all of us, are familiar with ATMs, but we also have a product now or a facility now that we call the virtual teller. And you basically do a drive-through, and you're talking to a machine that can do all your transactions. What we found in some of the urban markets, that works very well. People are comfortable with that. But think about our footprint. We're the state of Wisconsin. We're 220, 230 branches, primarily in Wisconsin. And when you get to some of the rural markets where the bright lights and the technology really doesn't catch on, that virtual teller is something that really isn't attractive.
And this really, too, I mean, you almost apply that to anything technological because, you know, we're seeing some of these tests with drones, too, for instance, the drone delivery. And, you know, people in the rural areas don't really like this drone flying up to their house. They still like this neighborly touch. And, you know, is that always going to be there, do you think, or is this disruptive technology sort of taking things over?
I think, you know, always is an infinite term. I think it's surprising how some of the rural markets, and we'll go back to our footprint, really are not as, and I don't mean to be critical, but not as sophisticated or as technologically updated. And I think part of that is the environment, but I think part of that is a desire. There's a lot of people that just aren't interested in the technology and living their life in the fast lane, and that living in a less vibrant, exciting community where you can relax and enjoy life and talk to a real person is attractive. So I'd like to say no. In my lifetime, probably not, but always is a long time.
Last year, we were making predictions for this coming year, and one of the other disruptions we talked about was acquisitions. Now we hear Amazon is exploring maybe taking over Capital One or at least merging with them. Having a company like Amazon get into financial services, what does that mean, and how will that landscape look?
Well, first of all, if you think about it, I think it makes a heck of a lot of sense. If you look at the challenges that financial services companies have today, aside from regulation and aside from just the competition in the market, security, cybersecurity, the elimination of fraud, all the things that the Amazons and the Googles and the Microsofts have invested billions of dollars in money just dealing with technology, it makes sense that a financial institution that's tied to somebody with that kind of intellectual knowledge would create a safety net that a consumer would really be attracted to.
So one recent study that said 40% of the people that run these financial services companies and banks, they're concerned about this disruption. 40% seems like a high number.
You gave me a little teaser with that article.
Yeah.
I don't know who those other 60% are. Yeah. I mean, I'm surprised that it wasn't 110%.
You think 110% should
think
be concerned?
I'll go on record as saying is we're all at risk. And I think when we look at security in bank systems, you know, you can feel really good about the fact that the guy across the street got hit, but don't feel too good because it could very well be you today.
And sometimes we hear traditional, we hear rest on your laurels, those sorts of things. In any sector, I'm imagining that's a dangerous position.
That's the biggest issue to me. This is not a rest on your laurels business because it's changing so much that the ability you had to, and I'm not a technology guy myself, but the ability you had to stop somebody from hacking, for lack of a better term, in yesterday may not be effective tomorrow. And that's why resting on your laurels is, you know, hey, you did a good job, but you're only as good as you're going to be today or tomorrow. It's not a comforting thing. And when you see, you know, historically what happened to a Target or what happens to somebody who's compromised with their accounts, don't get cocky.
And the other part of it, too, is playing a good offense when it comes to those areas. I know that you've seen this article about RippleShot. We had them actually here in the opening bell recently, this third-party company that's their securities, their business, where they're trying to find these trends and stop the security problems before they happen. Do you think that's the answer, playing better offense in this area as opposed to defense?
I don't think it's the answer. I think it's a necessity. You know, we talk about how we've talked together about how banks have spent millions of dollars just complying to regulations. Well, there's another area, and it's actually security. I mean, we've got over 20 employees at Associated Bank whose entire focus is fraud and security breaches and things like that. And coupled with that, we're dealing with third party to help us identify that kind of thing. And as I said before, what we're doing today is not what we did yesterday.
And it goes back again to the artificial intelligence and the algorithms and the robots. Companies like RippleShot are using those technologies to change this area too, to be as best as they can be in terms of offense. You think, what are your thoughts on those?
Well, I think they're onto something.
Yeah.
I mean, and I think that the problem is that the people that utilize RippleShot's got to be as creative as on top of it as the bank does. I mean, you know, once they break a group up, that group's got what do I want to say? That group's got a way to get in the next way.
Yeah. The last time we were here, since the last time we were here, the Federal Reserve has raised interest rates. We're seeing that
you predicted that, by the way.
it was kind of easy to predict. I'm not gonna predict what's gonna happen the rest of the year, but we're hearing three, maybe four more. This is one of the predictions I think you made last year, actually, too, that we would see more rate increases coming this year. Is that a good thing for your business?
What's interesting is when you say I made, or the banking community, or the people at Associated Bank, I think we've been making this prediction for the last 8 or 10 years, and it's actually coming to fruition now. Yeah. So here we are.
So what does this mean for a couple of areas? First of all, for just the consumer, and then also for businesses who are out there in this area?
Well, the reaction, I said this when we got together about a month ago, but we are having one of our biggest mortgage production months or quarters that we've had in some time at the bank. And the interesting thing is the phenomena is such that home prices are going up, interest rates are going up, the stock market has obviously made people feel better about themselves, and we're seeing people start to purchase homes now and secure mortgages, not because they're happy about the fact that those mortgage rates have gone up, but they fear what those mortgage rates will be in the second or third or fourth quarter. And so it's kind of a pent-up demand, a feeling of wealth, and you'd think people would step back because it's less affordable. But I think what's happened is the fear of the future. And so we're seeing a lot of mortgage activity. Yeah. What we're not seeing is the refinance activity, because people usually refinance when rates have gone down, and that's not happening.
Breck, it's always good chatting with you, and we'll see you again next time.
Thanks, Steve. Boiler up.
Breck Hanson, the Vice Chairman and former Head of Commercial Real Estate at Associated Bank, on our Thought Leader conversation today. Remember, you can listen to our past conversations at WGNradio.com on the opening bell page. You can also follow Associated Bank at Associated Biz on Twitter. And Breck, Purdue and Kansas tonight. Of course, we're rooting for the Purdue Boilermakers in the NCAA tournament. Thought leaders are ready to answer your questions, too. Send your questions via email to thoughtleader@wgnradio.com. That's thoughtleader@wgnradio.com. We can answer your questions right here on the opening bell.